There was a gentleman who had a very important job interview downtown, and he was already a little frantic as he was driving, as he was a little behind schedule. As he got downtown and realized he couldn't find a parking space, he really got to be upset. And he did as we often do, he reverted to prayer, and he started to pray. As he kept looking for a spot, grew even more fervent in his prayer, and began to, and we often might do, began to try to bargain with God. He said, "Lord, if you just find me a parking space, I will be so thankful. I will go to Mass every Sunday." But still nothing. Continued to drive around, and got even more frantic. He started praying, "Lord, if you just find me a parking space, I'll pray a rosary every night." Still nothing. Then later, "Lord, I promise I'll be a better person. I'll be a better husband. I'll be a more loving father. I'll give 10% of everything I earn." Oh, never mind, I found one. I know some of you have heard me tell that before, and I thank you for laughing pleasantly. It's about Thanksgiving. It's about being grateful. That's what we're about. That's our gospel passage this morning. But it's what we're about every time we celebrate the Eucharist. The word itself means Thanksgiving. It's Greek for giving thanks. And so every time we come together to celebrate the Eucharist, that's what it's about. That's what we're about first and foremost as Christians, as Catholics, is giving thanks. So in the Eucharist. Now with regards to the Eucharist, someone came to me recently and they heard something I think on Catholic radio or maybe on the internet. And it's something that's been published many times before. And it's a poll they take and it's about belief in the real presence in the Eucharist. And sadly, the polls often show that there's a large portion of Catholics who do not believe that Christ is present in the Eucharist, that it truly is His body and His blood. And he phrased this with me, and my response was, "What do you want me to do?" And he said, "Well, Father, tell them, preach about it." You see, you can't simply tell people. Christ has told us Himself. He's promised if they won't listen to Christ, they're definitely not going to listen to me. And so you can't just simply tell people that truly is the body and blood of Christ. They need to feel it. They need to know. And you can't really blame them. After all, you think about it, it's preposterous. It's ridiculous, this idea that our Lord and our Savior not only came and was one with us, but is still with us now and offers His very body and His blood by way of simple bread and simple wine. It's a ridiculous promise. It's a ridiculous idea. And yet it's true. And so how do you convince somebody to truly believe in this? We can't tell them. They have to see it. They have to see the change. And not the change in the bread and the wine. The bread and the wine will always look, taste, and feel like bread and wine. That's not the change they need to see. The change they need to see is in those who believe. Those who realize what they receive. This truly is the body and blood of Christ. So they have to see it in us. Knowing that it has to change our lives. We now have to be people who live lives of gratitude, of thanksgiving. We have to be changed. We have to become more like what we have received. We have to be more loving. We have to be more understanding, more generous, more compassionate, more patient, more forgiving. We have to be transformed. We have to be changed, be more like Christ, so that others can see what we've received. And so it lies on us.
I think about this. I'm mindful of an award-winning photograph. It's of two children. Each of them is holding a brightly wrapped gift in front of them. One of them is beaming, smiles from ear to ear, and you can see the excitement in their face. And the other one is staring blankly at the camera. And the photographer explained the story behind this picture. He explained that two children are from an impoverished nation. And they've been visited by missionaries. And the one who was excited and beaming was because he had received a gift about a year before. And he had a sense he knew what he'd been given, even though he'd yet to unwrap it. And the other one with the blank stare wasn't there the year before. He never received a gift. Couldn't even conceive of the idea, had no notion of what this gift was or what it might be. But when it comes to the real presence in our Eucharist, we have to be like that first child. We have to beam with excitement. We have to be changed because we know what we've been given. And we have to be forever grateful and show it throughout our entire lives. It's not always easy. But fortunately, we have a wonderful model. We have, by way, our own Mother Mary. When she received this wonderful gift, she beamed with gratitude and love. We hear it in her greeting to Elizabeth when she said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And so if we struggle to be thankful, we should turn to Mary and ask her to help us appreciate the same gift that's been given to us. The gift of our Lord to be with us and in us, that we might be one with our Father. And so we pray for her. That you pray with us, that we might be forever grateful. With that, now.